Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. Here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, 49ers fans? I'm your host, John Chapman, and welcome to another episode of the 49ers Rush Podcast. And we've got a fun one today. I love doing stuff like this. Now, I do have to tell you, shout out to the Countdown crew. This is not a live episode. Currently, I am in Texas. I'm celebrating with my family. We miss going back home. Seeing my wife's family and my family and my kids' friends and all that stuff last year because of COVID. So we decided to take the week to go back to Texas. So I pre-recorded this bad boy because, hey, we got to talk football, man. That's what we do. So this is not live, but do want to say all the hashtag CCs count for the next month's giveaway, which we're getting pretty close to. And we'll have something very, very soon for you there. Now, here's what we're going to do today. We're going to be going through and talking about the all-NFC West offense. We're doing a complete first and second team. No rookies allowed, even though I'm sure some rookies will make it. But you got to play. We're going on what you've done in the past, not necessarily what you're going to do and potential and all those things. Got a couple questions that we're going to get through as well. And I do have to let you know this. We've already done the all-NFC West defensive episode. That was a bonus podcast for our Patreon subscribers. So if you want to go back, they get an extra, kind of 2 to 3 podcasts a month over there. So if you want to do that, just go to patreon.com. 49ers Rush Podcast. That's there. Just go patreon.com, type in 49ers. You'll see us. Join us there if you want to get all those extra podcasts and film breakdowns, all that stuff. Just loaded another film breakdown. It was 40 plus minutes on Trey Sermon versus Clemson. God, that guy is just unbelievable. So those are there for you. Now, a couple emails that I want to talk about that I thought were really, really good. Speaking of Trey Sermon, somebody asked me in the past, or I think I put it out there on Twitter. I'm not sure where it originated, from originally, but who's going to lead the 49ers in carries this year? And I said Trey Sermon. I really do believe it will be Trey Sermon just because he can handle the workload. Well, Russ reached out to me and he said, it seems that your view of Mostert has changed from him being a stud back who was a constant home run threat to someone who should only get single digit carries every game. Was the shift due to Sermon and Mitchell, or did you come to the conclusion as soon as the last season ended? Here's kind of where I stand on Mostert. I love Mostert. He's a 29-year-old running back. Not a lot of those, but because he's never got that many carries, he's not playing like an old, aging veteran running back, 29. He's never had more, Raheem Mostert we're talking about, 137 carries in season. That's the most he's ever had in his 5-year career. So, the problem with Mostert has been, look, we cannot keep him healthy. He's out there for a few plays, limps around. He'll play through the limps, but he's not as effective, things like that. I think you've got to keep him under 12. That's where that needs to be. Now, obviously, you get into the playoffs, you get into some of those crucial games down the stretch or division games. Yeah, you could, definitely give him some more carries. Very similar to what they did to the Vikings and the Packers, right? Yeah, if he's going all ham, all world, then you feed him. But that shouldn't be the game plan each and every week. You've got to keep Mostert healthy. And the mindset is a 20-game season, right? It's not even making it through 16 games. It's making it through 20. You got 17 games in the regular season. Then you got three games or four for the Super Bowl. That's the mentality. So 20 or 21 games, that should be the plan. And again, you look back, he's never had more than 140 carries. You give him 10 carries a game, that's 170 minimum, right? If he plays all the games, whatever. So I want to keep him under 12. But again, overtime, games on the line, important game, no problem with that. I think he should be the first running back out there on the field. He should be the clear starter. But I do believe Trey Sermon should have more carries. You know, and you know, one of my keys to the game, if you remember back to in season, is always if the 49ers get 30 or more rush attempts, they're going to win. I think they're like 26-1 since Kyle Shanahan showed up with over 30 carries. I think they lost one game this year, perhaps, is one of those like three turnover games with Nick Mullins. But so that's the idea. So let's just say this is the way I would want it scripted out. Now, the script usually goes out the window for Kyle Shanahan pretty early in the second quarter and the fourth quarter. But the first and third quarters usually are on script, and that's why they're so good. But if I'm dividing up 30 carries for the 49ers moving forward, my plan would be, okay, Mostert's going to get 10. Trey Sermon's going to get 12. Now, Kyle Shanahan always is really big on this kind of two-horse race. Tevin Coleman, Devontae Freeman. You know, I mean, it's just, it's what he's done almost everywhere he's been, unless he's got that bell cow kind of guy like Alfred Morris that can just take all the carries in the world because he's such a big guy, which I think Trey Sermon kind of fits into. But anyway, Mostert 10, Sermon 12, Trey Lance 2. Whenever he comes in. Now, Trey Lance isn't going to be starting for a little bit, so you take those two carries away. Kyle Juszczyk, one. He's averaged one rush per game since he's signed with the 49ers, so I think that stays true. He did get a little bit more work last year, but still, I think he had 17 carries. So it's not like, yeah, he got more work, a little bit more pass attempts and whatever else, but we're focusing on rush attempts. Now, Debo, two, and then whoever the running back three is, they get about three. So again, 10 Mostert, 12 Sermon, 2 Lance, 1 Juice, 2 Debo. And then whoever RB3 is, whether that's Elijah Mitchell, Wayne Gallman, Jamichael Hasty, whomever, that person would get 3. And that comes out to 30. That's kind of what you want it to be. It's never going to be that because things change and whatever else. Like, yeah. But that's kind of the mindset that I would have for this backfield. Kyle Shanahan's running game's as good as anybody in the NFL. We all know that. The offensive line, well, guess what? You updated 2 out of 5 starters got a major boost in Alex Mack, and then you spend the second round pick on Alex Banks. So you're expecting the run game to be even better than it has been in the past. And if Mostert getting single-digit carries all year means he stays healthy, I'm all for it. All for it. Yeah, health is key. Now, the good news is, I don't think that our running game or offense stalls this year like it did in the past when we lost all our running backs. And I don't think that's the case. One, because our offensive line's better. Two, I think we have a much deeper running back room than we did in the past. Tevin Coleman was basically done last year. Jerick McKinnon was completely done last year. Hasty showed some flashes before he had a shoulder. But when Mostert was gone, it was just done. It was done. It was done. And I don't think it's going to be that anymore. Another quick question. This comes from Tom. If you guys are listeners of the Pro Football Focus, they've got so many different podcasts. But what they did, they put out a ranking the top coaches in the NFL and top offensive play callers. But they didn't do the whole list. But here's the issue, okay? Kyle Shanahan was not a top 7 head coach, and he wasn't even a top 6 offensive play caller, which obviously PFF, everything that they do, you take with a grain of salt. But anyway, he wanted me to listen to the podcast and kind of put my take on it because they talked to him for about 40 minutes. And I listened to it, and I'll say this, you know, I listen to a lot of football, generic NFL coaching scheme type podcasts, whatever I can find. And I love all that kind of stuff. But podcasts I can't listen to are ones that kind of start with like this very arrogant and like just talking down on people. It's like, I get it. Like, I'm a positive guy, whatever. But, man, they're just like, I counted. I listened to a 25-minute segment where it was, you know, they were talking about coaches and Kyle Shanahan, all this stuff. And they just kept saying repeatedly, like, oh, well, the average fan doesn't even know. Oh, well, Twitter, they don't know anything. They just say whatever. And like, well, yeah, if you're just watching the game, then you wouldn't see what we see. And I'm just like, whoa, bro, like, chill out, man. I get it. But these people are paying your salary. Like, calm down. So they're just a very kind of negative group that was on this pod. I don't want to say their names or whatever, but I don't listen to that podcast for that reason. And they went through and they were talking about all these things and why they're, you know, Kyle Shanahan's not a top seven coach. I'm like, man, if half of your podcast is trying to justify why this guy is not a top seven head coach, then I think you kind of missed the point. It's one of those things, like, if if you have to ever say, I'm the one who's in charge here, you're not in charge. You might have the title. Nobody's listening to you. That's why you have to raise your voice and yell. Just because you're louder doesn't mean you're right. That doesn't change anything. Just because you yell doesn't mean people are going to follow. And it's the same thing. If you have to talk about why this person isn't in there for your whole entire podcast, I think you kind of answered your own question. If you were to, I've said this times before, let's say you wipe out all 32 head coaches and you go through and you draft 1 through 32. Everybody gets to pick their head coach. Kyle Shanahan's going top three. That's all there is to it. You say Bill Belichick, you talk about McVay, you talk about whatever. I don't care. Kyle Shanahan's top three. In demand, in respect, you watch the plays that take place all across the NFL. Guess what? Everybody wants a piece of Kyle Shanahan's scheme. Okay, and you say, well, McVay and all those things, that's fine. Guess who McVay learned from? Guess who McVay coached under? And McVay's incredible. And if you wanted to put McVay over Shanahan, I don't have a problem with that. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying Kyle Shanahan, it's a Kyle Shanahan coaching tree. McVay's going to have his, but you look at the people that progressed from under McVay, guess what? Most of those guys coached under Kyle first. And so take that for what you will. And I will say this, you know, one of the key kind of terms that they used to not include Kyle Shanahan in the top seven was that his lack of fourth down conversions. And it's like, well, wait a second. You look at what Kyle Shanahan's did, and I get it. You don't blame everything on injuries. But in 2019, he was top five in everything. I think he was sixth best in fourth down conversion percentage. Like, top six. Like, he was up there. Yeah, it was bad last year. It was very bad last year. But even if you take away the outliers, he's still top 10 in the league in fourth down just in his time with the 49ers. And that's with Nick Mullins and C.J. Beathard and Brian Hoyer. Just wait. Just wait. The report card on Kyle Shanahan's not done. And when people disrespect the 49ers and kind of all those things out there, that's cool. Don't let that upset you. Yeah, you can respond and correct them and whatever else, but don't let it get at you. Like don't allow those people to, you know, whatever. Again, you're talking about when Nick Mullins is in there? Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm all right with that. I'm all right with that. So I'll take whatever it is that you want there. Now, another thing that they brought up that I thought was interesting, they docked both Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch for how much they traded up to go get Trey Lance. And, you know, there's some things that you got to remember. And again, context is key here. They called teams at 5 and at 4 first, and those teams said no. We are not trading back. Then what do you got to do? You got to go to 3 or 6. And they were pretty clear who they wanted. And so they went up to 3 and got their guy. Maybe they did overpay. That might be the case. We don't know. We do know that the team was very, very, or the entire NFL was very, very clear that they did not value Justin Fields and Mac Jones at all in the realm of the top three quarterbacks. Now, how many teams were high on Trey Lance? We may never know. That's just one of those things. We don't get to see the draft rooms, and nobody's going to talk about the quarterback that they had ranked high that they didn't have a chance at getting. I'm a huge Trey Lance guy, have been for a very long time, so I like the move. But who knows? Kid might not pan out. I don't know how that would work. Injuries, perhaps. Yeah, you see another workout video just coming up on Saturday. I mean, good Lord, the dude's like working out with a different person or wherever he can, throwing to whomever. Dude's just a beast. So I'm excited to see him. We're going to have to wait. It's going to be a while. I still think week 11 is the first time Trey Lance gets his start. That's just what I'm projecting outside of injury. Anyway. All right, let's jump to the main section of this podcast, which I'm really excited about. But before we do, real quick word from our sponsor, betonline.ag. so excited to announce our new sponsor. This is a big one, betonline.ag. BetOnline.ag is one of my favorite betting sites, and here's the thing that separates it from everything else. In the offseason, they have so much NFL to bet on. It's an absolute blast. So head over there, use promo code 49ersRush, all caps, one word, 49ERSRUSH, again, 49ersRush as your promo code. And what that's going to get you is they're going to match 50% of your first deposit up to $1,000. Now, rollovers apply on the bonus money. If you're not sure how that works, you can check out that out on the site. But you can open an account for as little as $25. Again, please use our promo code, helps the podcast. But you can bet on NFL futures, over win totals for each team. They have the 49ers set at 10 wins currently, by the way. So if you're one of the people that thinks the 49ers are going to get 11 or more wins, go over there and make that bet. There's no reason not to. Coach of the year, rookie of the year, MVP, who makes the playoffs and who doesn't, as well as some of the game of the year spread. So, for example, if you want to bet the 49ers versus Tennessee Titans, that's up on there right now with the spread and all those things. There's so much to bet there. So, we're going to be doing some betting specials here. By the way, I'm taking the over on 49ers getting 10 or more wins. I think they're definitely going to get to 11 wins. So head over there, support the podcast, bet with us, make some money. We did really, really well last year. Again, that's betonline.ag. And make sure you use promo code 49ersRush, all capital, one word, to help support the podcast. All right, let's get to the all NFC West offense. We're doing a first and second team. And here's how this works. Basically, we are creating the best 11-man starting offense using all four teams in the division, the Cardinals, the Seahawks, the 49ers, and the Rams. And we're going to do that for a first and second team. Now, a little bit of a qualifier, and I know I'm going to get, like, upset.
Did you know that you can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks? You can turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball, hockey, college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. And here's what's great. You can get action on sports on more than 30 different states across the country, including California, Texas, and Georgia. On top of that, you got playoff basketball actions on the horizon. And this is the best place to take advantage of all of basketball's postseason actions. Some of these player props: Nikolai Jokic for over 10 rebounds. Anthony Davis more than 2 blocks. Lillard, 4 three-pointers made. You get a pick exactly how you want to use your bets. So, download the app today. Use code 49ers49ERS for a deposit match up to $100. Again, that's promo code 49ers for a first deposit match up to $100 over on Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
If you care about security and convenience, you need Eufy Video Lock. Let's just say you're sitting on the couch and you want to lock the door and you don't want to get up. Got you covered. You're wondering who's visited your house while you're away from home? Done. You want video that's stored on your device without a monthly fee? Eufy Video Lock has everything that you need. On top of that, it's easy to install. You don't have to drill anything. All you need is a Phillips screwdriver. That's it. Keyless entry, fingerprint recognition, no battery anxiety, and they have 24/7 customer support on standby for you whenever you need it. So, if you haven't yet, go to Eufy Video Lock. You can Google it. You can check out the videos and all those things. That is EUFY Video Lock. Or visit eufyofficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your door. That's Eufy Video Lock.
I didn't include fullback, and I want to. I know the All AP team, they do like, you know, they put a fullback in there and like an extra whatever. No other team in this division uses a fullback. Nick Ballore, who used to be with the 49ers and Seahawks, he had 4 offensive snaps. So anyway, this is a juiceless all NFC West offense, and I get it. He's an all-pro for the NFL. He's the best fullback, period. So if you want to add him in there to tweak these numbers a little bit, that's fine. So we're going to go through first and second team, each position on the offense. Remember, we already did this for the Patreon bonus show. But then we're going to total them up and see which teams had the most first-teamers, second-teamers, total. Then we're going to total up the offense and defense and give us it really helped me see this division so much clearer after ending this exercise. It took me a while, and I argued with myself a lot going through these. But the one position I did not argue at all, this was quarterbacks. I had Russell Wilson. He's the first team guy. I don't think it's close. And then Matt Stafford's the second team quarterback. You know, if we were going to continue these rankings, it'd go 3, Kyler Murray, 4, Jimmy Garoppolo. Again, no rookies will be in this ranking. Eventually, Trey Lance will be on this list. But for now, I don't think so. All right, running backs. Again, only one running back makes it for each. My first teamer, Cam Akers. A little bit of a shock here. And for all my fantasy people, I'm telling you right now, I will be putting in a side bet this year on Cam Akers leading the entire NFL in rushing yards. I think he's just going to go off with Matt Stafford there. I hate it. I don't like the Rams. But I have Cam Akers as the clear number one here. Now, the number two spot was a little difficult. The two guys that I was arguing with back and forth were Chris Carson and Raheem Mostert. Now, I'm not the biggest Chris Carson guy. And, you know, I dove into a whole bunch of stats like, okay, how do I... Carson's done it more consistently. There's no doubt about that. He has fumbling issues. Mostert's had injury issues. But here was the thing that was the deciding factor. Raheem Mostert has averaged over 5 yards per carry every single year he's been in the NFL. Chris Carson, how many times has he averaged over 5 yards per carry? Goose egg. Zero. He's never averaged over 5 yards per carry for a season in his entire career. So I'm giving the nod to our man, Raheem Mostert. It was close, and I don't have a problem. Again, you want to work these numbers out on your own. Actually, I'll tell you what. Put this in the comments. I'll go back and keep track of this. Put RM for Raheem Mostert or put CC. Oh, man, I hate CC. Put Carson. Type Carson if you think that he should be. I don't want to confuse our countdown crew with Chris Carson. He's on the enemy lines there. So who you think should be the second team running back there? Raheem, RM, or Carson for Chris Carson? I'm curious to see what that looks like. But that's where we are right there. Now, wide receiver, I'm doing a 3 wide receiver set. And, man, this is solid. I look at the 6 guys named here. They're all freaking studs. And, man, if you want to keep going, you can come up with a couple other names. First team, I don't think there's any doubt. DeAndre Hopkins is by far one of the best wide receivers, if not the best wide receiver in the NFL. He gets the nod there and the very first Cardinal to make it onto our all offensive team. Second up, I got DK Metcalf. That dude has just been lights out. We'll see what he looks like again this year, but he has just been killing it. And the third spot, that was a tough one because I've got like 4 guys in the exact same tier here, but I went Tyler Lockett. I like Ayuk better. I'd prefer to have him, but Lockett has put up back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons, and he only missed, I think he had 996 yards the season before that. So that's 3 straight years of elite production. Doesn't miss any games. Is 16-game starter, 16-game starter. I know it's easy whenever Russell Wilson's your quarterback, but my first team wide receivers, DeAndre Hopkins, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett. That's what I have there. Now, the second team, man, again, you could mix these guys around, but again, we're going off of past production. Brandon Ayuk is my first guy there. I have Brandon Ayuk super freaking high. I think that he is a top 15 wide receiver already, and who knows what it's going to look like whenever we get a quarterback that can throw the deep ball, because I think that's a part of his game that has yet to be unlocked, but it's special because he gets so much separation on the deep ball. Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods, they're going to round out that second team. So you got one 49er and 2 Rams players there. Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods are just, they just work so well in that offense. They are perfect scheme fits. And now they're getting a huge upgrade at quarterback with Matthew Stafford. So we're going to have to see what happens there. And Tutu Atwell, their second round pick, he's going to be added in that as well. So very dangerous wide receiver core. Tight ends, no question whatsoever. George Kittle, probably the biggest gap in all of this is George Kittle than everybody else. Like, I struggled finding the second team tight end. It came down to 2 guys that were both with the Rams last year, right? You got Tyler Higbee and then Gerald Everett, who's now with Seattle. So that was interesting. I went Higbee. He had more catches, more yards, had more almost everything last year. And, you know, the Rams kind of made their choice. We're going to keep this guy. So I went Tyler Higbee number 2. But again, George Kittle, this was like the most, like, yeah, There's nothing to look at there. There's nothing to look at there. What a competition. All right, O-line. Now, for this one, I do want to be clear. I didn't change anybody's position. What they are playing, that's what I put them at. So I didn't even switch left guard to right guard. I didn't switch left tackle to right tackle. No, no, no. What you play, that's what you're fighting for. So it's left tackles versus left tackles, left guards versus left guards, straight up and down. Obviously, left tackle. This one, I think there's two elite left tackles in this conference. That's Trent Williams and Dwayne Brown. But Trent Williams, he's the first teamer. Dwayne Brown will be the second team left tackle. Left guard. Not a lot of quality left guard play in this division. Lakin Tomlinson was my first team guy by far. You look at, you know, just PFF grades. You look at, you know, sacks, pressures allowed. You look at whatever it is. He's top of the board. That's just what he is. So I got Lakin Tomlinson. He's my first team. David Edwards of the Los Angeles Rams. He's my second team guy. Center, Rodney Hudson, who came from Oakland. Oakland blew up their team because they ran out of cash. Their owner couldn't pay the salary, so he traded away Rodney Hudson. He traded away Gabe Jackson. And just like always, all these stupid owners, whether it's the freaking Texans or if it's the Oakland or Las Vegas Raiders, they always trade to our division, but not to us. Ah, it makes me mad. So anyway, Rodney Hudson, he is my first team. NFC West offensive center. And second is Alex Mack. What a difference a year makes. You go from somebody that's never even played center in their life in Daniel Brunskill to now you have a second team, you know, all division player in Alex Mack. And yeah, if you're one of those people that's like, man, Alex Mack should be on the first team, Rodney Hudson's playing about as good as any center in the NFL. He's definitely top three. But yeah, if you want to put Alex Mack up there, I hope that he plays to that level. But I think it's a pretty clear 1-2 punch there. Now, another thing that I want to say before I get to right guard, Damian Lewis, who played right guard, he's moving to center now. So I don't have him ahead of Alex Mack. But the reason why he's moving to center is who I just talked about. Now we're to the right guards. First team, Gabe Jackson. Holy cow. That dude, when the 49ers and Seahawks play, I'm going to be watching Javon Kinlaw versus Gabe Jackson because that's just two behemoth physical specimen, like just specimen, just so physical the way they play. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Gabe Jackson is a hell of a right guard. And then I got Austin Corbett for the Los Angeles Rams. So that's my number one, Gabe. Number two, Austin Corbett. And then we get to right tackle. And I struggled with this. I swapped these two guys back and forth like three times. And the two guys are Mike McGlinchey and Haverstein, Rob Haverstein with the Rams. I went McGlinchey as number one. And here's why. Let's just look at the numbers. McGlinchey gave up 5 sacks. Havenstein went up, gave up 4 sacks. But whenever you looked at run blocking, Havenstein wasn't even in the top 15. Whereas Mike McGlinchey was number one. So I kept going back and forth, and I don't want to be too much of a homer, so I don't like giving all these tiebreakers to the 49ers. That's not at all. But if I'm going to be honest, this is a very poor offensive line class. If you look at our division, it's bad. The 49ers by far have the distinct advantage in offensive line, and I don't even think it's close. Los Angeles Rams got some guys, there's no doubt. The Rams had 3 guys make... what's it called? The second team. But the 49ers had 3 guys make the first team. You kind of see the difference there. It's a big difference. Now, again, fullback, you know, if you want to put juice in there, that's cool. I couldn't do it. I wanted to do it, but I couldn't do it. And this kind of told me, let's go through the numbers just on offense. The Cardinals had 2 first teamers, 0 second team players, for a grand total of 2 + 0 = 2 for all my smart kids at home. This is who this offense is. You got a couple playmakers, and that's it. That's it. This is not a solid team, the Cardinals. They're not. They don't have the studs. They really, really don't. And their offensive line is abysmal, I will say it. Abysmal. It is that bad. They've got a good center. They've got a good quarterback. They've got a good wide receiver. That's it on offense. That's it. All right, next up, we got the Seattle Seahawks, which is just super top-heavy team. I've talked about this so much. And whenever, again, You can look at a roster and you see like all these people and you're like, oh man, there's no depth here. Well, guess what? They had four first teamers were tied for the most. They only had one second teamer, total of five. So that lets you know kind of where they're at. Four studs and one second teamer. That's it. Now let's go to the 49ers. 49ers had four first teamers tied for the most, three second teamers, which is seven total. Now, if you want to add juice in there, okay, that'd give us five and three for a grand total of eight. But again, Cardinals two, Seahawks five, 49ers seven if you don't count juice, eight if you do. And then let's get to the Rams. One first team player. One. That's it. They only had one. And that's their running back, and that was iffy. But they have seven second-team players. That Rams offense has so much depth. So much depth. And so, like, it's interesting, man. Like, you know, whenever I first look at the Rams roster, and it's like, man, they have no depth. They got a little bit more than I thought they did. But there are some really weak position groups in this offense. So if you're just looking at total numbers, Cardinals 2, again, just talking offense. Seahawks 5, 49ers 7, Rams 8. But if you're just looking at first-teamers, well, 49ers 4, Seahawks 4, Cardinals 2, Rams 1 on offense. Now, let's total together all these numbers, okay? From our previous episode that we did on Patreon, the bonus show, the defensive totals and the offensive totals combined. So this is out of 22 starters, right? Because there's 11 first teamers on offense, 11 on defense, 11 second teamers on offense, 11 on defense. So you're, what's that, 44? I'm super smart. I went to college. All right, last place, total number, Cardinals. They had four first teamers, four second teamers, grand total of eight. All right, Seahawks. They were second to last. I keep telling everybody, it's the worst Seahawks roster. The numbers bear it out. They had seven first teamers. They got some elite up there. Three second teamers, the fewest by far there for a grand total of 10. Rams, okay, four first teamers, eight second teamers, grand total of 12. And then the 49ers, they're last with the most for sure. First teamers, seven. Second teamers, seven. Grand total, 14. This roster is built different. They have the most first teamers, tied with Seattle, both have seven each. But the difference is the depth that has been established. Again, 14 total for the 49ers, 12 for the Rams, 10 for the Seahawks, 8 for the Cardinals. And I think that's the way the pecking order has to go. Now, how much does quarterback make up for the lack of depth that the Seahawks have? Well, that's been the way it's been for Seattle since Russell's been drafted. He wills them to win despite the roster, despite the poor coaching, despite everything. How long is that going to continue? This is not a good Seahawks team. They do have some top-end talent, a lot of top-end talent. But that depth is not there. Cardinals, they don't have depth or talent. And then you got the Rams, which, man, they only have four first-teamers. But those four first-teamers like are pretty damn close to being first-teamers for the NFL. They have the best corner in the NFL, or one of them. They have the best defensive tackle. I think the running back's going to lead the entire, you know, NFL in rush yards. I think he's going to be up there if he stays healthy. And then, of course, Stafford, you know, put him wherever you want to put that. But the 49ers are definitely the team to beat. You look at these numbers, and it paints a very clear picture. If the 49ers can get quality, just decent to above-average quarterback play, they're winning this division. I really do think it comes down to the 49ers and the Rams and the Cardinals and Seahawks. Again, how much can Russell Wilson make up for that? I don't know. I don't see it. I just don't see it. I think they'll come out red hot. But again, if they get some injuries, that team's done. It's over. It's just what it is. And the coaching of the Cardinals is going to keep them out. That's just all that is. But I thought this was fun. And again, if you want to listen to the defensive one and go through the positional breakdown there, that's up on Patreon. But I hope that you guys enjoyed this. This was fun. And it kind of, again, you step back and you look at something, you're like, oh, this one's better than that one. But when you go through and you plug all these in, and tell me what you disagree with. I'm wrong a lot of times. So throw that up in the comments. I want to look back and see, man, if I miss somebody, maybe there's somebody that I didn't include on here. Again, no rookies were involved. But hit me up. Let me know what's going on there. But hopefully you guys enjoyed this. I'm going to get back to my vacation, spending time with family. So that's going to do it for us here. But like I said, vacation or not, you're still getting your 49ers Rush content. That's not going to stop no matter what. And I hope that everybody has a great week. And I will be talking with you guys soon. Hopefully next time I'll be live. We'll get that going. But as always, stay strong, faithful.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.